It is an example of God's smackdown in the Bible. A smackdown story for someone who needed smacking down. As we saw last week in the message about how Jacob and Laban cheated on each other, about the taking of the sisters, about the stealing of the sheep, we find a story about a guy, Jacob, who was chosen by God and yet who seemed to do everything wrong. He was chosen by God to be God's representative in the world and through whom all of the nations of the world would be blessed, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Jacob's sons and on to the rest of history and on to today. Through him and his children, all the nations of the world were supposed to be blessed. So how in the world could this blessing child of promise be such a disaster and need God smacking down? That's the question today. And do we, my friends, do we need smacking down? That's the question, too. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you have heard about my cat. The cat that I had from my days in seminary. My cat, Tiggert. T-I-G-G-E-R-T. Not Tigger. Tiggert. I named him after a Methodist bishop. I thought to myself, cats are very royal and episcopal and holier than thou and arrogant. So name him after a bishop. That makes logical sense. And I looked in the register of bishops and I noticed that one of them was named Tiggert. And I thought to myself, perfect name for a cat. So I named him Bishop Tiggert. Bishop Blake didn't find that very funny, by the way. Anyway, Tiggert was a wonderful little boy. I miss him dearly. He provided much laughter, much enjoyment in my life. He also gave me a lot of wonderful illustrations for what it means to be an erring, sinning, failing human being, except he was a cat when he did it. For instance, Tiggert knew that I could not stand the noises that one would hear in a house at night, the dripping of a faucet or the slight banging of a door due to air currents, or just about any noise, the crickets, any noise in the house would bother me, and I'd have to get up and go and find it and make it stop. And so Tiggert knew how to bother me and get me to get up and play with him. He would love to go running around in the living room, meowing, and then come running down the long hallway into the master bedroom, up onto the bed, tag my foot, then turn around, jump off the bed, and go running back up the hall into the living room where he'd meow some more. And he'd make this loop. Living room, hallway, and then silence while he goes airborne onto the bed, tags my foot, turns around, jumps off back up the hall in the living room. Again and again and again. Waking me up, driving me nuts. I couldn't get him to stop. Once he did it, I tried to grab him when he got up there, but he was too quick for me. So I lay there and thought to myself, he does it one more time. I'm going to really put a stop to this. And of course, he did it. So I got up as he ran back up the hall. I got up out of bed and closed the master room door and went back to sleep. Just as I was drifting off into la-la land and finally falling to sleep, I could hear the sound of his little paws flying down the hallway And then I heard, bam! And I got up and opened the door, and there's this cat sitting there going, knocked himself silly. And I picked him up and cradled him in my arms and petted his little head and kissed him and told him he was a good kitty cat and took him to bed with me. And he stretched out on his back and went to sleep in my loving arms, nice and happy, and smack down. Isn't that what we do all the time? We want to get our own way. We want our way all the time. There's only two ways of doing anything, the wrong way or my way. We want it our way 100% of the time. We don't care about God's will. If we're really honest, we don't. Or if we do, we want it to equate with our will. We become our own God. We want it to be our way. And that was Jacob, my friends. Jacob wanted things his own way. He comes out of the womb, grabbing his brother's heel. He was a twin. And Esau came out first, and Jacob came out second, grabbing onto his brother's heel. That's how he got his name. Heel catcher, Jacob. That's his name. That's the meaning of his name. Heel catcher, or grab on. Grabby, if you will. And he was always grabbing onto other people's things. His brother's heel, his brother's birthright, his uncle's daughters. He was grabbing on to his uncle's sheep. He was grabbing on to everything that wasn't his. He wanted things his own way. That night in the tent after the marriage. And he walks in expecting to find who? Rachel. And who did he find? Leah. Cow eyes. Exactly. Good memory. He found Leah. And instead of going, hey, wait a minute now, you're the wrong daughter. I worked 7 years for Rachel, not Leah. Let's go back outside and find your dad and say, hey, we've made a mistake. No. He waited until he had consummated the marriage that night in the tent, thinking, aha, I'll get my own way. I'll get two daughters for the price of one. As I said last week, blue light special. He wanted it his own way. So much so that finally here he is. He's going home. He's going home to see his dad and to meet his brother Esau. And he is scared to death. And rightly so. He's scared to death. He's sure his brother's coming to kill him because he got word that his brother was leaving out to come to meet him. We come from your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you. And 400 men are with him. Oh my goodness gracious, he thought to himself, he's going to come and he's going to kill me. And I deserve it. So what does he do? He sends his wives and his children on ahead of him, sort of as a peace offering. And his sheep on ahead of him, sort of as a peace offering. Look, go and when you meet him, tell him that you belong to his servant and that you are his. Here, you be a bribe for me to my brother. So he is left alone by the river Jabbok. And left alone in the night, in the dark of the night, worrying and waiting for the coming of his brother to kill him, he encounters a stranger. A stranger with which he gets into a wrestling match. A match that goes all night long. I don't know if they used the claw or not. I don't know if he broke any chairs over his back. I don't think there was an announcer there reporting the wrestling match, but it was a smackdown, my friends. A smackdown in which Jacob was brought to the very edge of saying, Uncle, relent, time out, you win. But it lasted all night long. Now, in all honesty, if we were to get into a fight with God, what do you think our chances would be? Nothing. It'd be like an ant facing down a choo-choo train. What would be left of the ant? Nothing. Splat, squash, not even juice. Dead. We come up against God and think we can wrestle against God. That's what Jacob did. In the dark of the night, he didn't know who he was wrestling against. The story describes it as a guy, a man. A man he wrestled against. And it wasn't until the very end of the fight that he realized he was facing something other than an ordinary man. How do we know that? Look at what it says. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket. I think that's a cheating move in wrestling, isn't it? He struck him on the hip socket as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Interesting. Interesting. Remember the story? Isaac, blind and old and can't see. And his two sons, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob puts on the camel or the animal furs, the skin, so that his hair, his arms are hairy instead of smooth, so that he feels like Esau. And he goes in and he gives them a mess of food to eat, like Esau would have cooked. And Isaac, who can't see, takes it and eats it and then blesses him. Remember the story about Esau being hungry and comes in and demands that Jacob give him some food or he's going to die? And Jacob says, "Give me your blessing and I'll give you the food." The snatching of the blessing was common for Jacob. And here he is. He won't let go. He was grabbing on to, just like his name says, he was grabbing on to the man, the angel that he was fighting with there. Wouldn't let go even when wounded. He would not let go. And then he says, "I'll let you go only if you'll bless me. Only if you'll give me a blessing." And the angel says, "What's your name?" Why did the angel ask for his name? He asked for his name because when you know the name of someone in ancient Hebrew culture, when you know someone's name, it gives you power over them. When you can speak their name, you can exercise authority over them. So he asks his name, and then his blessing is in relation to that name. "You shall no longer be called Jacob, heel catcher. You will no longer be called Grabby, but Israel, Israel, the man who has sway, influence, striving with God." Another possible translation is, "God strives with you." His name means that God is willing to strive with him until this stubborn human being recognizes his utter need for God. Until he's willing to say, "Uncle, I give up. I need you, God." God is willing to struggle with him. That's what his name means. God strives with you. The one who strives with God. He found his name so he could change it. So he could change it in order to change this man's character. And not just this man, but all of his children who have been striving with God ever since. We strive with God too, being spiritual children of Jacob. We strive with God too, demanding our own way, wanting it our way or the highway. We strive with God too. And only when we're willing to relent, say uncle, only when we're willing to relent and recognize that we've been smacked down by the power of God, only when we're willing to relent and profess our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and live by His will in our life, only when we're willing to say that, "Yes, God, I love you and will serve you," only when we're willing to accept His authority over us to change our name to Christian, to Christ servant, then and only then will he let us get up and go free. So, he changes his name. And then Jacob, still somewhat of the grabber, decides, well, if he's going to find out my name, I'm going to find out his, okay? Please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed Jacob. I mean, he didn't even tell him what his name was. Jacob already knew who it was with whom he was fighting. It was God. He knew it. He knew it. But it took being smacked down to recognize it. And the same is true with us. My brothers and sisters, there's one important message to pick up today from this story from the book of Genesis. Don't wait until God has to smack you down to recognize his real presence in your life. Don't wait for God to have to smack you down before you're willing to see that he is there with you, willing to transform you, willing to make you whole, willing to make you his child. Don't wait for God to have to smack you down before you're willing to say yes to his grace and yes to his love. Don't wrestle with God, my friends. Accept his authority in your life. Don't wait for him to smack you down. Now, the truth is, we do wait for God to smack us down. We wrestle with God's authority. We want to fight and claim our own authority. In those moments, my friends, when we find ourselves trying to have our own way in everything, in those moments, say, Uncle, relent. Say yes to God's authority. Accept the smackdown that he gives and profess him as your Savior. That is the message today, my friends. It's a simple one. Look and see and know the real presence of Jesus Christ in our midst. Look and see and know when you come to the table of the Lord today, the real presence of Jesus Christ in our midst, and accept his authority for your life today. That's what we all have to do, my friends. Accept him. And know that he will lead us, and he will guide us, and he will see us safely through every confrontation we may have. What happened with Jacob and Esau? What happened in their confrontation? Jacob thought he was going to get blasted. He was going to get smacked down by his brother. No, it's God smacked him down. Then he goes and meets his brother, and what happens? His brother goes up to him and embraces him and proclaims him, my brother, I don't need anything of yours. My brother, I'm so happy to see you. I don't need anything of yours. Forgiveness is here. Receive it. When God smacks us down, we are called to reach out to our brothers and our sisters in faith and mend the broken bridges and fill in the valleys that we have dug so that we can reach out to each other with an embrace. God may be smacking us down today. When you come to the table of the Lord, wrestling with your sins, give them to Jesus and receive the grace, the forgiveness that is freely given. Receive the grace, the forgiveness that flows from the cross and from the table of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, come to the table of the Lord today to see and to know the real presence of Jesus in your life again. And by faith, live and proclaim that he is with us. And when God smacks us down, say yes to God's authority in our life and get up and go forward. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.